welcome to the home of fantasy football's hot stove. It's the all-purpose Roto Fantasy Football Show. Let's go.
Welcome to the fantasy football hot stove. Fantasy football's fastest show on the air, at least I think so most times. Our hosts jam in as much content as they can into 30 minutes, folks, every Saturday, unless we're really tied up, 52 weeks a year. Find the hot stove at allpurposeroto.com. Send your questions and comments to Bob or Chris at allpurposeroto.com. And now from our very own Fantasy Football Tactics Studio, here's Bob and the illustrious Mr. Chris.
That's the second time in like 3 weeks that you've spoken in the second in the second person.
I like it.
Kind of weirds me out as if you're a separate person.
I'm channeling. Okay. Well, we're going to have to get someone to get that read for us in the morning. I've just been a little too busy. There's mock drafts and having nightmares that I thought the Dolphins were as bad as they could, that they could channel the Rams. Having nightmares is keeping me up at night.
No, I knew we were going to talk about this.
Who isn't?
Yeah, it's certainly concerning for the Rams, the future outlook, but it kind of solidifies Gurley as the number one pick, though, because they've got nothing else on offense.
I don't know. I have serious concerns that Gurley, oh my gosh, it's just so bad. So let's just, for those that don't keep up with this type of news, during the offseason, it was a pretty expensive move for the Rams to go up to the number one spot. What did they give up, Chris? Do you remember?
The 15 this year, a 1 next year, 2 twos this year, a 3 this year, and a 3 next year. And then they got back a 4th this year in addition to the number one pick.
So 2 ones, 2 twos, 2 threes, I think, and a 4 or something. Yep. I don't know. To move up to the one spot, I don't think it solidifies. I'll take the contrarian view, as you would say. I don't think it does. I think it means the team and franchise takes another setback and – second year removed from a bad injury. I loved him. We had him on a couple key teams last year, and boy, did he get hot. It was nice. But our quarterback situation is horrific. The wide receiver position is horrific. The tight end position is vacant. The offensive line is in question. The defense has taken a couple hits. And that defensive backs have taken even bigger hits. I'm not so sure. I think Gurley is in a better position as a number one now.
So I'm not worried about their defense. I think their defense is more than fine. Laurinaitis was terrible last year. William Hayes replacing Chris Long with the way that
he's okay.
Yep, that's fine. I can't remember the cornerback who's stepping up for Janoris Jenkins, but I'm not worried on the defensive side of the ball. So I like their defense. I think it's good. Offense, they have nothing but Todd Gurley. they have a young offensive line. That's getting
another
better and better.
Kind word. This is the new crit.
I'm just telling you that I think that this solidifies him as the number one overall pick because they're going to have to pound the ball. Jeff Fisher has no remorse about burning Todd Gurley out inside of 3 years. I'm telling you right now, he zero remorse about this. This trade was a move to save Jeff Fisher and Les Snead's job. It was a combination of that. And then making a splash, moving to Los Angeles. So I think that it totally solidifies.
I think it was a job move. I think they feel they won't get fired in their second year, no matter what happens with a rookie quarterback. I think if they go winless, they'll keep their jobs because they're developing the next great quarterback for their city's new franchise quarterback. I think this was exactly what you just said. And saying their line is young is very kind. It's just kind.
I think I either read or heard on a podcast yesterday that the average age is 23.
It's because of Stafford and Robinson.
Or no, they have 3 23-year-olds, excuse me.
Yeah, Stafford and Robinson are what's, you know, having people cling on to hope there, but they can't even keep a running back too. Trey Mason is as good as gone. He's on the Johnny Manziel track. He's on the express elevator to hell going down from aliens. He's in trouble. It's making Benny Cunningham looking like a super, super great value pick.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, it's not – their offense outside of Gurley is pretty much non-existent, but he was pretty good with the offensive line that they had last year.
I agree. He's a super talented guy.
Even if they improve by 10%, that's a tick upwards for him. He didn't play in the first five games. Five games. I'm telling you, I think that he's easily the number one overall pick, and we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
It's as insane as it is, and this was my only defense for the RG3 trade, was if one of these guys turns out to be a franchise quarterback, then this trade's worth it. There's no question that it's worth it, because the Steelers don't have to do this, the Patriots don't have to do this, and the Packers don't have to do this, simply because they have franchise quarterbacks. So they can afford to trade back. So if Goff or Wentz is a franchise quarterback and the Rams actually draft the correct one, then this is worth it. However, if you've misevaluated and you can't develop one of these guys, then it is a horrific trade and it is a franchise altering trade. So you had better be sure that one of these guys is the guy. I'm excited to see, you know, a young quarterback play with Todd Gurley, and hopefully Todd Gurley is a crutch. Hopefully everything works out for him. I don't know that that's actually what's going to happen for the Rams.
Well, you'd mentioned three teams there, and the Patriots did not give up picks to get Tom Brady.
No,
okay?
No, but what I'm saying is the, by virtue of having a franchise quarterback, you can afford to move back in the draft. So if you think one of these guys is a franchise quarterback, then okay, I guess go get him, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but again, I'm just saying, winning franchises, you know, and this is unlike us to go right at it at the beginning of a hot stove. We'll bury this and move on to the news for you folks. But the Patriots did not even come close to doing something like this to get a franchise quarterback. The Steelers, I think, took Roethlisberger at like the 15th pick or something.
He was late.
Something like that. Yep. I mean, so he was there. They took him. I don't think they moved up to get him, but they were happy he was there. And then freaking Aaron Rodgers, we all know that story. I think that's what, pick 31 or the last pick in the first round.
I think it was 24.
Or whatever, right. Yeah. I mean, they didn't do this. This is not what – you can't afford this. You're spending capital. So to me, it doesn't matter. If it is Aaron Rodgers, big whoop. You got no freaking talent to bring in more players for you. It's a horrible trade,
I think,
no matter what.
If it's Aaron Rodgers, then this is a great trade for the Rams, to be fair. Anyone in the entire league who has there's probably 22 teams that would give up this slot for Aaron Rodgers right now, let alone a 22-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. So now if he is the talent, and you and I talk about this a lot, if he is the talent of a player that can be equal to something like that, you still have to have the organization, the coaches, to be able to get that player to his capability. They are so far from that type of organization. It's hilarious. So the only thing I like here, to be honest, is I'm taking a Chris strategy that I like, and I'm taking a Brad Cruz strategy that I like. It's look for that falling value, that player that people are just starting to kind of put away because of the organization, the team, the offense. And Brad going, hey, everyone does have a value, so don't write them off. It's that wide receiver you like out there. Tavon Austin is going to come at a cheap tag this year.
Yep. And, you know, they find kind of weird ways to get him the ball. He runs the ball. You know, he can catch the ball. He sometimes throws the ball, runs wildcat. So they're going to have to be gimmicky with him. And I think that his value is really kind of in PPR. In a standard league, I don't think that's nearly as high.
Yes.
Maybe still rosterable, but PPR is really kind of where I'm going to be looking out for Tavon Austin. And they're going to need to use him, man, because rookie quarterback, we've seen it 100 times. It's a struggle. And if they draft Wentz, going from D2 to the NFL, that's going to be rough. That's a rough transition. But, hey, if it works out, like I said, it's worth it. But my confidence is not high in the Rams figuring this out.
That, me too. And so on the other side, we may as well get to it. The Titans, they just went into Nordstrom's with $2,000 gift card.
Yep. The last time that a team had six picks in the top 76, I believe it is, was the 1991 Dallas Cowboys, and that worked out well for them. On the other side, whoever the Rams are taking, they aren't announcing it, but it's who the Browns wanted because they're trying because they are desperately trying to move down now.
Yeah.
So
sad.
We'll spend, you know, 90 seconds on the Browns here. Browns trying to get out of there. They need as much talent as possible. But once again, these idiotic rules that the NFL has, Josh Gordon partying with Johnny Manziel, maybe some team intervention and some team oversight would prevent that from happening. Exactly. So dumb that they can't have contact with him and just can't reinstate him. It's just poor Browns fans, man. Poor Browns fans.
Yeah, and it is kind of a shame because a guy like Gordon is great for the NFL. I mean, highlight plays, exciting offense. The rule changes they make are to open up those offenses, make for those great passing plays, huge scoring games. That's what the NFL has become. So Gordon could have been part of that. And you're right. I mean, let's be honest. Even in your professional life at work, if people stumble and have issues, there's employee interventions programs, EIPs, help those people try to put their lives back together. Because isn't that more what this should be about, too?
Yeah.
It's not you just don't want Josh Gordon back to help the Browns win games. It's like, hey, Josh can be, you know, part of a bigger thing here, man. And I hope the best. I hope he extricates himself. And I can't even think about Johnny Manziel these days. He's so lost. I'm just best thoughts. But Gordon, I hope, does. But it's a shame. Your bottom line is right. It's a shame that they're not letting the organizations or the NFL certainly could afford a third-party organization helping players in this situation. Maybe he's not involved with the team too much. A third party is orchestrating it, and he does have some team interaction.
The NBA just approved advertising on his jerseys. You think the NFL isn't too far behind? They can use that money.
There
somewhere.
You go.
Use that money.
EIP somewhere. By All Purpose Roto.
Yeah. I think Gary Barnage is the only guy on the Browns who I'd want on my fantasy roster as of today, April 16th, 2016. I don't know about you.
Duke Johnson in the teens for a draft pick, 15, something like that. Pretty interesting.
I guess you're right. Yeah, I guess. As long as he's 15th round. I don't think he's going to be 15th round. But
no, because there's still people dreaming that he can light it up there. But Crowell is good enough that it's going to limit Duke's ceiling for quite a while because the offense is limited, like you said.
Mm-hmm. I try to limit my homerism to only complaining about other teams. So this is an example of that. How exactly is it that the NFL, when it's setting its schedule, comes to the Colts and says, okay, well, here's where your London game is, guys. Would you like your bye week after this or at a different time in your roster? Why do the Colts get that option?
I don't know. Maybe there's some supply and demand issues going on there with Roger and the GM and the owner of the Colts. I don't know.
I mean, are you talking about medicinal supplies?
Because I don't know. I'm just saying maybe there's some sort of odd connection there. But one thing, the Colts, another example, Andrew Luck, he's fantastic, isn't he? He's fantastic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But how confident are you in that organization in the next 2 or 3 years? You know, this is a big play dynasty league. You like Luck more than Rodgers, do you? I don't think so. You like more than Wilson? Yeah. I don't think so. And a big part of that is why. It's the organization.
Yeah. You did just make me think that maybe this whole thing is just – I know that you don't watch Archer, but Jim Irsay just smuggling drugs to England. I don't know. Yeah, that's the only scenario in which this is acceptable to me.
It's going to make for great press in New England.
in any case, to your point, Andrew Luck – distressed asset, maybe, Bob.
There you go.
I like him. I like him falling a little bit after being a borderline first round pick last year, right?
He's burning some people. Yeah, he's falling.
You know who's not a distressed asset, Bob? Ezekiel Elliott.
My goodness, no.
Apparently, he says that he was on SportsCenter yesterday, which it's kind of weird to see these guys on SportsCenter. I don't remember that in years past leading up to the draft.
Right.
But, he said that the Eagles seemed like they're showing the most interest in him.
Yes.
I guess if the Rams drafted him, he wouldn't be the number one overall pick in rookie drafts. But outside of that, is there any way that he's not the number one pick in every rookie draft across the country?
three. Rookie drafts, I think he'll be number one. There's, the wide receivers aren't there. Titans aren't even close. And a quarterback, of course, is a wasted fantasy pick overall. So it's Zeke. And you mentioned that story because it dovetails right in, of course, with the story that they were exploring the thoughts of Matthews being available player that the Cowboys would be interested in. That would never happen. But there's certainly a little spin going out here that the Eagles might be looking to shake up their running game even more. Yeah. But caution to the wind, to some people, they just say, sure, that sounds great. But pre-draft speak is just that. The Eagles might not be thinking Ezekiel Elliott at all.
Well, and the Cowboys might 100% be thinking him because they don't want – they want to move back a couple spots and still take him. Right. We don't know what's going on. But, you know, we've talked about this with – I think Gronkowski most recently, where, you know, if you're the sixth pick in the first round and you can't trade, but you want Gronkowski, then you should probably take Gronkowski because he's not going to fall to your next pick most likely. So, you know, it's kind of that situation with Ezekiel Elliott. And I think he has roughly the same value as Gurley this time last year, just because of Gurley's injury concerns at the time.
I agree with that.
He's a good player, man. You know, he's an exciting player, and the good news for people with the number one overall pick is that the value of the number one overall pick is steady this year because of a guy like Ezekiel Elliott, and I think that, you know, the bad situations that he can go to are pretty limited. You know, you would think that Philly is in a great situation, but improved. There's no way that they can't improve their offensive line from last year, right? Yep. So.
They've done a great job in the offseason. This Philly team is, to me, got one of the best offseason marks all year. I'll comparing it to the Rams, what they did.
Just because of the Dolphins trade?
Yeah, the Dolphins trade alone. They get rid of two players that weren't fitting their scheme, weren't performing to the dollar value they didn't need. They had other players who could come in. So they move up at a six-pence cost, mm-hmm. right? They get DeMarco Murray away, who it's just going to be a problem. You know, Murray could come back and have a 1,400-yard year. He could have seven. But either way, the Eagles are better because he's gone. They didn't need him. They're moving on a different path. I like that. So, and they don't make that trade with the Dolphins just for getting rid of the players, just for moving up. They make that trade for several reasons. And they know there's probably three or four players they are keenly in love with at that spot. So they'll be delighted with whoever they get there.
If they draft a quarterback, if the Eagles draft a quarterback,
they won't.
I might literally explode with rage.
I mean, fourth round maybe if someone's falling.
Well, yeah, I'm saying the first round. I'm saying the first round.
No, they will most definitely not do that.
You're giving them a lot of credit.
I am giving them. They have a plan now. They've calmed down. They have said, "Holy mother!" I think this was ridiculous. They went through like the Jerry Seinfeld episodes last year.
I mean, the Rams also have a plan. Just because they have a plan doesn't mean that it's a good one. Let's pump the brakes a little bit here. Today, where are you comfortable with drafting DeMarco Murray?
It's a foul. Where am I comfortable? I've been getting him in the fourth round in some mocks, and I feel really good about it. And those are IDP mocks, too, so sometimes you have about two or three defenders going in those first three, four rounds. So I actually like Murray there. And now with this trade, I like him a lot more.
So John Robinson's taking a victory lap here, and great, good for you. Congratulations. Who's the coach of the Tennessee Titans?
Well, we got a little bit of an issue.
yeah, they brought back Mike Mularkey for some reason.
Well, they couldn't get their guy.
I disagree. Like, find somebody else.
No, they couldn't get their guy. I think we'll get a new guy next year.
You want to know who I'd rather have than Mike Mularkey?
Yeah, we'll get a new guy next year.
Colts offensive line coach Joe Philbin I'd rather have than Mike Mularkey. That's how bad Mike Mularkey is.
That's piling on. That's what the NFL. You're going to get fined for that. So, that's a late hit. So we went from a foul to a late hit.
So just for that. And, you know, this is a great haul. Good job, Titans. Just for that, I'm not comfortable with DeMarco Murray before the fifth round, Bob, because Mike Mularkey is going to be – do you think his coloring book is going to properly teach him how to call plays?
Man, you're fully recovered from that cold medicine now, aren't you? You're like recovered. It's NFL draft time. You're ready to lash out.
I read adult coloring books are very, very relaxing. And they're surging. Do you think that Mike Mularkey is the number one Amazon customer for adult coloring books. He's just got stacks of them at home.
The coincidences are just piling on because one of the flyers at work yesterday, office supply house, had coloring books in it. And I'm like, what are the coloring books for? And now you're bringing up adult coloring books. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, but adult coloring books are a thing, man. Look it up. It's great.
Well, you keep moving on. I'll look at like Fantasy Pros 2 that doesn't have the IDP and see where he's going. I don't mind him. I only got burnt 1 year on DeMarco Murray, so I'm not been sufficiently scarred. So perhaps I'm a little bit jaded, but I like him. And part of that, of course, is I've got zeros on David Cobb, Bishop Sankey, and Antonio Andrews. So that helps.
You want to know who I like is whoever ends up being the Titans' number two running back. That's who I like.
Wow.
Not named Bishop Sankey. If it's Bishop Sankey, then I like whoever the number three running back is.
Then you're okay. So that's good. We can have fun at some drafts this year together as we debate DeMarco.
Anyway, another backup running back who I'm going to like this year. The 49ers and the Cowboys are apparently interested in trading for Ryan Matthews.
That's what they're saying. I think that's just – go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right, you think that they're just trying to drum up interest for him?
I think it's just pre-draft speak. Yeah. I don't think Matthews is going away. I think every team would love to have Ryan Matthews as a number two 1A player. I think he's got a lot of value. I like him.
He actually had a great year last year.
Yeah. Dolphins, I would just freak out to have him. It'd just be great. I think but you just can't give him the ball 27 times running and also have him catch the ball 10 times. He's still a great player, I think.
Yeah, you got to limit his touches. So that's a guy who I'm definitely targeting in the mid to late rounds.
He's not going anywhere.
Well, I mean, Chip Kelly did sign him, and they haven't fully exercised him yet. So, I thought that this was a great headline. It was on, I think I got it from RotoWorld. the Browns are, quote, not desperate to take a quarterback at the number two overall pick.
I saw that too. I wanted to look up what reporter used the word not desperate, but, you know, geez. They got it. I'll tell you, the Browns need to move down to get whatever they can get, just to get one extra pick, because they got to start throwing bodies at some of these positions. Just like you said, at quarterback, where teams will give up a lot trying to find that quarterback, they need to do that to say, hey, we scored a great linebacker here. Hey, we scored a great defensive end here. Hey, we scored a good tackle. We scored a guard, whatever. Just start throwing darts out there. And I don't mean that darts just guessing, but I mean, you evaluate your top four guards. I mean, there's some nice guards in this year's draft. So teams that want to go early, they can get two bookend guards in rounds one and two that are really nice, for example. So they need picks, man.
Yeah, they need talent. they need NFL players.
I like their coach. I like Hugh Jackson there. I like that they're trying to – their front office is trying to get a little let's call it using stats and geeks to help them.
But,
those are the best moves.
Have you been reading about Hugh Jackson in their front office? And
yeah, they don't get along. But they're probably going to be perfect. That's just the stupid press having fun saying, "Oh well, Hugh Jackson's a passionate talent evaluator who likes to get involved with his players, and they've recrafted the offense as the stats and geeks group." Well, that's okay. Actually, you and I both know, running an organization, you like that sometimes. You don't want everyone thinking the same thing. That's how we got some big problems in our country when everyone says, "Yeah, everything's great."
The 100% anti-analytics people are as dumb as the 100% pro-analytics people.
There you go.
And I don't think that very many analytics guys are 100% pro-analytics. I think that they know that
you have to
apply it. But I could totally imagine Hugh Jackson being 100% anti-analytics. It's not exactly
he did great in L.A. in the Raiders.
Yeah, he was the decision maker on the last insane quarterback trade with Carson Palmer, remember?
Yeah, it went great.
Yeah, he was the decision maker there.
Wrong team.
I disagree. I think it was the wrong player and the wrong team. I thought
DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray, 16th overall running back right now.
Which round?
And putting him ADP of third round.
Yeah, I don't like that. I thought that this was pretty fascinating too.
I love that.
Was checking out ESPN. Sheil Kapadia pointed out, how much money do you think of this year's cap the Seahawks have devoted to offensive linemen?
Of this year's cap? Oh, I bet it's very small. I'll bet this year's cap for offensive linemen is 15%.
It's way less than that. They have $6 million total. I believe
the cap's
about 150 this year, off the top of my head.
Say like 5%.
It's
less than Tom 5%. Cable should get a bonus.
I mean, it's not like he did great last year strategy.
$6 million, I'd give the guy more money.
Does this scare you off Thomas Rawls at all?
I've been scared off from Thomas Rawls. I don't like his ankle injury. I don't like his situation. I don't trust Pete Carroll. I don't like the offensive line. I love Russell Wilson. I think those offensive wide receivers are better than already billed this year. I think Thomas Rawls will be massively overdrafted. And since I have it up here, yeah, he's crazy, man. He's in the second round consistently now. Mm-hmm. And people are taking him before Eddie Lacy and Matt Forte, which I agree with.
I agree with both of those. I don't know how much stock in P90X Eddie Lacy you take, but
I'm taking a lot.
Yeah, but you don't draft him in the second round after a year like that.
But I've been getting him in the third and dancing.
That's fine. And I'm fine with Rawls in the third or even the late second, because I think he's worth that risk. The first, which I've seen him taken in a few leagues, is kind of
crazy. He's gone in the first.
Kind of crazy.
Hey, you know what's happened, though, in the last month? This is interesting. C.J. Anderson and Deion Lewis have both now moved ahead of DeMarco Murray, Carlos Hyde, and Matt Forte.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Moving. Yeah, people are thinking, if this guy is healthy, I want him on my team.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Come back to it.
That makes sense to me.
It's too bad. It makes sense. Too bad. I was hoping to pooch him sometimes, but
so up there. Looks like the Jets traded for Ryan Clady, signed him to an extension to replace DeBrickshaw Ferguson. Clady's a good left tackle, but perennially injured, kind of the opposite of Ferguson.
Yes.
You know, and credit to Ferguson for only missing one snap for his entire career. But hopefully the training staff can work some magic with Clady, because he was a very good player for a stretch there. So hopefully he can stay on the field. You mentioned, so that's crazy that Forte is on that high, the third round.
There's starting a lot of spin on him. You know, there's a lot of talk. I think the Clady thing actually helped him. So, you know, I think people are just starting to come back to him. He's ready. He's healthy. He's with a coach that wants to run him. So, hey, I don't like it. I think he's a great player, but he's just going a little bit too early for me.
Bilal Powell,
missed him in like 16 drafts.
Bilal Powell in like the 8th to 10th is pretty tasty.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
I'm like 0 for 16 on Matt Forte, so I obviously don't have him where everybody else does.
Mike Evans came out this week talking about getting back to his fundamentals and being more of a professional this year.
Yes, sir.
This is the perfect example of a distressed asset who burned people last year, who's going to fall a little bit further than he probably should. Jameis Winston getting into better shape for his second season.
Very important tie-in. That's right, Chris.
Vincent Jackson, who I still like, another year older. I think that Evans could have a monster year, and I really like where he's settling in right now.
I love Mike Evans, too. He's solidly in round two now, usually in the middle to the later round two, and I'm very good with that still, because I think, like you said, he is the number one 1A on that offense with Winston. So I like it. I bank in on Doug Martin not being everything he was last year. The offense is more talented. I mean, more balanced. Coder's in there kind of steadying the ship a bit. I'm still okay with that. I'm not thrilled. But, no, I think Evans is a great pick. When you think Dez Bryant end of round one, or Mike Evans getting near the middle or end of round two, to me, that's a very easy decision.
Yeah, especially with, I think that we're saying, the reason why we're saying that is strictly because of Bryant's injury concerns with the foot.
Yes.
If Dez Bryant's healthy, then it's not the same class, but we're worried about Dez's injuries.
What's happening this year, which is fantastic in my opinion, and it's the first year I can say this, is three running backs who I really don't want to take because I got significant worries about, okay? And they're going high. They're in the first five picks usually, first six. It's Bell, Gurley, and David Johnson, okay? For various reasons, I don't want those three guys in the first six picks. So if I'm near the end, if I'm middle to end of round one, you can get Adrian Peterson or Jamal Charles. And then in middle round two, you can get Jordy Nelson or Mike Evans or Ashon Jeffrey. I think that's a great first two picks.
You know what? I kind of I liked reading about Le'Veon Bell this past week was that that article from the Steelers talking about how he's undergoing that blood flow restriction therapy.
I think that's great. You liked it because I hated it.
Well, I mean, they come out with new stuff all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like it's so it's not necessarily a bad thing. And it was only an LCL and an MCL, which, you know, not as bad as tearing an ACL or all three or anything like that. So I do like to see guys trying out new stuff. The sports science stuff is very important, I think. And
it's huge.
You know, we've talked about this, guys sleeping in hyperbaric chambers and stuff like that. It's stuff that I like seeing in the news. So I was kind of excited to see something like this get out and kind of the team not just sitting on it. So good for Le'Veon. He's still super young. I think he can bounce back from this. So he, would you rather have him or I know that you don't want to Gurley. Take one of these guys in the top Gurley. Six. You'd rather have Gurley.
Easy. Bell is just impossible for me.
I mean, isn't Gurley just as much of an injury risk?
No, Bell's been hurt more. Look at that.
I disagree vehemently.
You always disagree with me, so that's kind of like your calling card. But also, his offense doesn't need him. They don't need him.
Le'Veon Bell's pretty important to the Steelers'
offense. He's a great player. He's important to them. They don't need him.
He takes them from fourth gear to fifth gear.
Agreed.
Which is important.
I agree with that. But the Rams just don't even show up. They don't have Gurley.
You shouldn't go 60 in fourth gear.
If he's there at pick 7 and pick 6.
No one gets this 8. Because no one drives standard. And standard is dying. But I'm just saying.
Yeah. I know. So if he's there at pick 7 or 8, that's interesting. But
I mean,
he won't be there.
Todd Gurley has had injury concerns.
He has.
So I would say he's more injury prone than Le'Veon at this point. But
why is my quick little handy sports injury predictor tab not pulling it
you're
up?
Also,
I can't pull it up.
You're also talking about fat Eddie Lacy in the second round.
He's no longer fat. Get off my guy, man. He's my guy this year. I'm loving. I knew he was going to bounce back this year, and he is. He's coming back hard.
Well, you want to talk about not needing him. The Packers could literally plug in one of 30 guys and produce similar
but
numbers.
He's a player I didn't mention. I mean, heck, if you don't like that earlier thing I said with, you know, going Peterson and Charles at the end of round one and picking up Mike Evans in round two, okay, flip it. Pick up a better wide receiver at the end of round one like Allen Robinson and then go with Eddie Lacy at the end of round two. I'm good with that as well.
He needed to fall a lot further than the second round for me to get.
Yeah, he was fourth, and now he's third.
Yeah.
Nothing like losing 15 pounds doing P90X in the fantasy world. It'll move you up 1.5 spots.
Yeah, well, we'll
1.5 rounds. We'll see, though. Yeah, I agree with you.
Pat's re-signed to LeGarrette Blount. Anything there?
Yeah, no, that's good. That's typical Patriots. Value players there. Don't unsettle his life. But fantasy-wise, that's no thank you, right? I mean, he's there, but how can you – I mean, Deion Lewis is the only running back I'm interested in this team.
Last one. Looks like the Vikings are kind of the first team that's really doing diligence on – or openly doing diligence on receivers. Is this an attractive landing spot for a top wide receiver? Are you excited if they get one on top wide receiver?
For the team, but not for the fantasy community. I think they're going to be – forever limited on the high end, and the consistency is never going to be there at wide receiver for us. I think you're going to have games where Teddy has some great games, and I think games where that Viking offense does. But fantasy world, I think we're looking at a pretty tough putt for counting on that as a wide receiver two every week on your team. Do you see it? Because I don't.
Well, I mean, Teddy had probably as bad of a season as he's going to, I think, last year. That's his floor. And Diggs was still pretty valuable. Adrian Peterson's getting older and older. They might have to throw more.
I like McKinnon's interesting.
I like this. I like that you think that they can't move the ball. Maybe we could get a rookie wide receiver for a little bit lower because
we can. You're right. But remember our news on Charles Johnson last week too, that we found out he was playing with broken ribs all year. Mm-hmm. And that gave Stephon Diggs that.
And once again, this could be a smokescreen.
And once again, this could be a smokescreen. So we got to watch this time of year. But yeah, Diggs had about, I think, 700-something yards and almost half a buck, almost 550 catches, I mean, or something. But I like Charles Johnson, too. Remember what we talked about. Watch the real tape. So the guy was hurt. And when you watch Johnson play, he really is, he really does have it. So he's going to cut into somebody. Mike Wallace is gone. Man, I don't know. The Viking team just scares me as far as fantasy works. I just think they move pieces around a lot.
All right. That's it. Week to the draft, right?
A week to the draft. A
pretty
week
exciting. The draft. Or is right. it? In, did they move it back this year? I can't remember.
No, no, we have no. I was actually reading about when you were saying that. I was trying to find out who said that desperate quote again in Cleveland because I really did like that, and thought that was pretty good. And I did want to bounce just two things off you. One was Devontae Parker's scar tissue story that came out that he tore that scar tissue midseason last year, and also Justin Hardy, who just what we thought. That maybe the coaches are trying to motivate the second-year rookie for Atlanta. Hardy, they say he was a player that stood out during all the organized passing games. So Parker and Hardy, do you have any updated thoughts on those guys?
Yeah, I mean, the great thing for Hardy is that they signed Mohamed Sanu, who useful player. I think they overpaid by quite a bit on him. I think he's a third wide receiver. I think he's a nice third wide receiver. But to sign him as a second wide receiver means that there's a lot of opportunity for those guys behind him.
And what about Parker? What do you think about Parker?
I don't think that this impacts Parker at all. To me, I still like Parker for this year. I'm still in on Parker. He's probably going in like the sixth round, which is just way too high for me. But I'll draft him in under certain scenarios. So
right. So a week from this Thursday is when we'll be starting to kick off the draft, of course.
Ooh.
So
ooh, yeah, boy.
We have 10-12 days, something like that. So
all right.
Bruce Kimbrough's got me going to some Gracie mock drafts. I don't care. I've been the Dolphins. Let's go sign us out of here. We did a mock draft, everyone being one NFL team. So you had 32 guys in there. And so it's the Dolphins, and we were heading into the second round when that trade went through with the Rams and Titans. And if you could have seen, I mean, I really should post it, but I won't because some of the guys don't want their crap out on the web. You could have seen all the news, emails, and just frustrations by people about how that could screw up a draft and what on earth would anyone do it. And then people are trying to figure out, well, how do we deal with this in our little fantasy mock draft? And everyone's like, but it's unrealistic. No one would do this.
Yeah.
All right, 12 days away. Kick us out of here. And let's go have a great weekend.
All right. At All Purpose Roto, allpurposeroto.com, allpurposeroto@gmail.com. Check us out. And fun off season thus far. Starting to get nice out. NBA basketball. Playoff basketball starts tonight. Let's go watch some.
Kobe Bryant, I know it's going to pain you, and you're just going to have to let me get away with it, but I watched that final game. My son's been, for whatever reason, he's been a huge Kobe fan for 15 years, 10 years, whatever. And we watched that game till 1:20 in the morning, and you know, it was so fun watching him just screaming on the couch. But
the last 2 minutes were pretty impressive, but the rest of it, that was bad basketball.
They were just all having fun, and it was, but boy, he was gassed. But yeah, thanks for the subscription, folks. Keep them coming in. It's been a great offseason for us leading up to one of our better, another improved 2016 over on 2015. Thanks to everybody there. We'll see you again soon. Thanks, everyone.
See you guys.